Well, good evening, everyone. And welcome to our Good Friday evening service, and also a welcome to those who might be joining us from home via the live stream. And of course, on Sunday morning, we'll have the opportunity to come together once more for our Easter Sunday service at 11 o'clock, again here in person, again with the opportunity to join online. And for those coming along with young children, creche will be on as normal. Blast won't be on, but the service itself will be a bit different. So hopefully not too much of an endurance event for those who'd normally be in Blast. But today, of course, we're not quite at Easter yet. Today is Good Friday, when our attention focuses on the passion and the death of Jesus. And this evening, we're not going to do anything especially complicated. You're invited to sit and to listen and to think and to pray as we hear the story of Good Friday. And at three points in our service, you'll hear music, and the words of the songs will appear on the screen. And if you know the songs, you're very welcome to join in singing, but I won't be asking everyone to sit down, stand up and sit down like we might on a Sunday. But take that time to think and reflect on all that we're hearing about. In a very well-known hymn that we're not going to be using this evening, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," there's a verse that begins with these words: "See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down." And on Good Friday, undoubtedly, there is sorrow, betrayal, abandonment, accusation, humiliation, and a full and final forsakenness. But there is also love, as we hear the story of that body broken for you, blood poured out for you. And the same lips that in sorrow will pray the words of Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" will in love pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let us pray. God our Father, we step aside from the pattern of our own lives and all the things that have made us sigh or smile, so that we might think about that day of love and sorrow when your son was led outside the city, alone for us, condemned for us, dying for us, so that we might know life and freedom, and friendship with you and through him with one another. We ask that this evening you would show us what we need to see, and that you would speak to each one of us so that we might hear what we need to hear. All this through Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, who is our Lord, and who reigns forever. Amen. Our story begins by night. Jesus has eaten that Last Supper, shared with the bread and the wine with his disciples, and now he's outside on the Mount of Olives. And listen now as we pick up the story as it's recorded in Luke chapter 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, but you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. This is the hour when darkness reigns. The psalmist prays, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's now listen to Psalm 22, set to music, as we reflect on these things.
God, I'm captivated by your thirst and tired.
The story continues in the house of the high priest. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together. And Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man subverting our nation. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and he's come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he'd heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some sort of sign. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them. "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty, therefore I will have him punished and then release him." but with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He wore white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Whereby grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he wore white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
So we see the sorrow and the suffering caused by sin, and we see the love that to the very end would invite us in. As Jesus, forsaken by his friends and attacked by his enemies, still prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I'd like us to take a minute or two just to be quiet so that we can think and pray on our own. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to look at that image of the cross. And then I'm going to read a short poem called "Father, Forgive" by Malcolm Gate. Let's take this time to talk to God in prayer. Father, forgive. Father, forgive, and so forgiveness flows. Flows from the very wound our hatred makes. Flows through the the taunts, the curses, and the blows. Flows through our wasted world a healing spring, welling and cleansing, washing all the marks away, the scores and scars of every wrong. Forgiveness flows to where we need it most, right in the pit and smithy of our sin, just where the dreadful nails are driven in, just where our woundedness has done its worst. We know your cry of pain should be a curse, yet turn to you and we find we have been blessed. We know not what we do, but heaven knows. For every sin on earth, forgiveness flows. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? God our Father, we thank you for the cross, and in its shadow we come to you with our sorrows. And there we find ourselves confronted by your love, embraced by the outstretched arms of your Son, and knowing that though the night is dark, we are not forsaken. For Jesus' sake, Amen. Our service finishes with our third song, and this will be the last part of our time together this evening. But the words of this song really invite us to respond in prayer, yes, but also in the whole of our lives. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour, He will stay. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can say I am free, yet not I. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ.